Welcome to Sunday Morning at Faith Assembly, featuring the ministry of Senior Pastor Phil Goss. We're glad you've joined us. Now, here's Pastor Goss.
Well, if you'll find the notes that are there in your bulletin that you received that you came in today, we're going to talk about the drift factor. Now, if you'll remember, a couple weeks ago, we talked about pure and simple devotion, and we told you that series was ended, and it has. But there was this message here that I had and never worked it in, so I want to do it now, all right? So it's kind of connected, but we're going to do it today. And it's called the drift factor. The drift factor. Colossians chapter 1, verse 19. For God in all his fullness was pleased to live in Christ, and by him God reconciled everything to himself. He made peace with everything in heaven and on earth by means of his blood on the cross. This includes you who were once so far away from God. You were his enemies, separated from him by your evil thoughts and actions. Yet now he's brought you back as his friends. He has done this through his death on the cross in his own human body. And as a result, he has brought you into the very presence of God. And you are holy and blameless as you stand before him without a single fault. Folks, those verses are something you should probably read every day, because it gives us a great understanding of our status with God and what has happened. Verse 23, but you must continue to believe this truth and stand in it firmly. Don't drift away from the assurance you received when you heard the good news. The good news has been preached all over the world, and I, Paul, have been appointed by God to proclaim it. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1, so we must listen very carefully to the truth we have heard, or we may drift away from it. The drift factor occurs when a Christian is disconnected from God and doesn't even know it. Drifting from God doesn't begin with anger towards God. It doesn't begin with a purpose to move away from God. It just occurs so slowly that you're not even aware of it, and you gradually lose sight of what's important. You begin to look at other things, and eventually you just lose your spiritual vitality. Because here's what we understand. God doesn't move. You and I drift away from him. Now, I'm not saying you're not a Christian anymore, but you're headed for trouble. You begin to lose your joy, your spiritual power, your closeness to God, your excitement in serving God, your desire for God. You drift. Now, I have a tremendous respect for the water, the color, the waves, the depth, the creatures, the current. And it just fascinates me. When I was going to Bible school, Springfield, Missouri, we used to go just about a half hour's drive, maybe a little bit more, to a place called Branson, Missouri. Little bitty white spot in the road, at least when I lived there a long, long time ago. But we'd go there because they built this dam while I lived in Branson. In fact, when I was a little kid, they were building the dam and created two great fishing places. I like to fish for trout. And on one side of the dam where, you know, they let the water come through, it's a great trout stream called Lake Taney Como. And we'd go there and fish any time of year. One time we were there fishing, and it was cold. And when it's cold like that, you supply your boat with what we would call an Arkansas heater. Or if you're from Pastor Mark's place, a Kentucky heater. You know, just whatever you want to call it. And what that is nothing more than a big old number 10 can, and you put sand in the bottom of it, a couple inches, and then you put charcoal briquettes on top of that. You light the charcoal, and you set it in the boat, and you keep warm. An Arkansas heater. And so we were fishing, you know, had that in the boat and everything, and we're going on because, you know, sometimes below the dam, if they're releasing water, the water gets high and the current gets fast. Other times, water gets low, and it's a lot calmer. Well, this so happened to be that they'd released the water. And we always fish usually back in some of the sloughs that were there. Current wasn't so bad. And when the water wasn't released, they got these great pools where trout were in it. Well, we're fishing, and we just keep hearing this noise. And we can't figure out what it is. The wind's blowing a little bit, and we keep hearing it and keep hearing it. And finally, he said, you know, it sounds like somebody's saying something. So we pull it up, and we find we're going to go check it out. And we got over, got through it, and got out into the river, and there was two men and a boy whose boat had tipped over because they had been drifting down the river, caught on a tree, and they were holding on to the tree in the submerged boat. And so we pulled them out of the water, put them in our boat, took them to land, got them where they needed to go, and if you're a fisherman, you go back fishing. Why? Their boat was drifting. We're going to talk this morning about what it means to drift. Now, let me give you some facts about it. The facts about drifting. Number one, it's common to all Christians. Common to all Christians. None of us are immune from the deception and the devices of Satan. But would you agree with me that in life, there is a current that flows away from God? That this world has an attraction that creates a pull that does not allow us to be closer to God, but takes us away from Him. And at times we look at that, we see that, we don't really want to give in to that, but its pull is subtle. And at all times, every Christian has to deal with this pull, this current that pulls us away, causes us to drift away from God. Secondly, it's constant in our lives. It never lets up. It's not just sometimes, it's all the time. We'd call it pressure. It constantly flows throughout the course of our lifetime. We look at certain things going on. Wow, look at those people. Look how they're living. Look how that's happening. And suddenly we just kind of drift away. I'd like to do that. I'd like to do this. So it's a constant threat in our lives. Thirdly, it'll affect us when we get careless. When we get careless, we neglect the little things. You don't start out to purposely move away from God. It just happens. It's not intentional. It's just careless. Let me illustrate this way. I've heard people say it too many times, and maybe you have too, and maybe you've said it. They'll come to me and say, Pastor, we don't know what's happened, but in our marriage, we've just drifted apart. Now, did they intend to drift apart? No. Over the course of time, over the course of events, it just happened gradually, didn't it? Because you know what? If you have a relationship, you have to work at it, don't you? So it just drifts. And sometimes it's like this. Well, how does someone who once enjoyed church become a casual attender? You miss once. Then the kids have an event and we got to go to that. Then the family has a crisis and we miss that. And then someone says something and we don't like that. And then we work a few more hours because we need that. Your intent was not to separate yourself, but over the course of time, over the course of life, suddenly you're not the person you were. Suddenly the things of God aren't as intense as what they were. Suddenly your attendance and commitment to God's house isn't what it was. It'll affect us when we get careless. We just don't notice. We don't see it. We don't plan it, but it happens. Fourthly, it'll affect us when we get overconfident. Well, I've been a Christian for so long, I know how this works. I know what they're going to say. I know what they're going to do. And it becomes a routine for us, doesn't it? There's no life in it. It's just the routine that we go through. That's called religiosity. You know, that's called just going through the motions, but there's no life. And before long, we serve God. We know what happens. And I don't need to be in church. I know that. I understand that. I got that. You know, I've been doing this a long time. And before long, you know what? You're not what you used to be, and you're not where you need to be with God. You've just drifted away. So all of those things we have to understand that are at work in our life. So what I want to talk to you about this morning is, how do I fight this drift factor? How do I deal with this so it doesn't happen to me? So let me begin with this. First of all, I need to recognize the pull. I need to recognize that there is a pull in my life, that when I come to God and want to serve Him and give my life to God, there is this pull from the world that tends to pull me away from God. And every one of us in this room have to fight that pull, don't we? That it's there, that we look at those things and we say, well, I want to be a Christian, but I'd like to have that, and I'd like to do a little more of this, and they look like they're having fun. I think I should get to do that and those things. Nothing wrong with those things in and of themselves necessarily, but sometimes they just grab our attention and they grab our time and they grab our energy and they grab our effort, and suddenly, hold it. Where am I? We're not who we used to be, and we're not where we should be. And I have to recognize that. I have to know that I fight that. James writes about this in James chapter 4. You adulterers, don't you realize that friendship with this world makes you an enemy of God? I'll say it again. If your aim is to enjoy this world, you can't be a friend of God. Why do you think the scriptures mean when they say that the Holy Spirit, whom God has placed within us, jealously longs for us to be faithful? Notice verse 6. He gives us more and more strength to stand against evil desires. As the scriptures say, God sets himself against the proud and he shows favor to the humble. So humble yourselves before God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. God, I've got to humble myself. I'm not what I want, but what you want. God, I've got to come to a place where I recognize there is a pull for me that wants to take me away from who I want to be in Christ. There is a pull to me that causes me to drift away from God. And I have to recognize that in my life. What things are there in your life today that are causing you conflict? You love God, but you want to do this. Yeah, I want God, but I want this too. And I have to recognize the pull. Secondly, I need to realize where am I at now. Realize where you are right now. Can you be honest about your status in your relationship with God? Are you where you want to be? Let me ask another way. Are you where you should be? You know the answer right now, don't you? Am I realizing what's going on? I know there's a pull. I know that's there. I know I fight it. Will I be honest enough with myself and with God to say, you know what? My relationship with God isn't where I want it to be. Now remember, God hasn't moved, has he? It's me. I didn't intend it. I didn't make a choice. It just happened. And I look back now, stand here and go, you know what? I need to be back there. I need to be honest with this. I need to allow God to show me. 2 Timothy 3 talks about how he does that. You must remain faithful to the things you've been taught. Are you? That's a great question, isn't it? You know they are true, and you know you can trust those who taught you. You've been taught the Holy Scriptures from childhood. They've given you wisdom to receive the salvation that comes by trusting in Christ Jesus. All scriptures inspired by God is useful to teach us what's true, to help make us realize what's wrong in our lives, straightens us out, teaches us to do what is right. It's God's way of preparing us in every way, fully equipped for every good thing God wants to do. How many of you need to be straightened out? How many of you know the person next to you needs to be straightened out? You know? And notice what he says there. He says, You know what you've been taught. You know what's right. Spirit of God's alive in you. You know. Am I willing to realize where I'm at? Simple question. Are you where you should be with God right now? Thirdly, repent when you have drifted. Repent. Now, repentance is a wonderful word. It is not a bad word. It's a great word. It's a good word. Because repentance is this. It's not just saying, I'm sorry. That's a part of repentance, but that is not all of repentance. Repentance goes a step farther. It's saying, I'm sorry, and then fixing it. It's saying I've gone off and getting back. I don't blame somebody else. I don't make excuses for what's going on. Well, Pastor, we've just gotten busy, and Pastor, you know, we've got this to do, and you know, this is going on, and this is here, and everything, and I know we should be there more often, I know we should do some, but God understands. Oh, yeah, He does. You've drifted. Didn't intend to. It's not your intent. There's just been a lot of things going on, a lot of things happening, a lot of ways that, you know, we've just gotten busy. Am I willing to say, God, you know what? I'm sorry. And am I willing to change it? See, repentance doesn't say, God, I'm sorry, and then you leave here and don't do anything about it. That's not repentance. 2 Corinthians 7:10, Paul writes about this. God can use sorrow in our lives to help us turn away from sin and seek salvation. We'll never regret that kind of sorrow. But sorrow without repentance is the kind that results in death. In other words, it gets you nowhere. So I have to come to this place where I understand, you know what? There's a pull in my life that constantly pulls me away from God. And I recognize it, and I see it, and I see that I am not where I should be. That somehow I've gotten farther away from God than what I intended. Somehow I'm not where I want to be with God in my life. I need to take stock, admit it, say, yes, that's the way I am. God, I'm sorry that I've gotten away, and I need to get back to where I belong. That's repentance. That's what we need to do. And that's the next point. You return to where you belong. You return to where you belong. It's not enough just to be sorry. It's not enough to see it. It's not enough to say, yeah, it's true, I do that. I have to be willing to take a step and turn around and make it right. In the book of Revelation, it's written about a lot of places in Scripture, but we see this played out for us in this book as the Spirit of God writes to the churches there. And in Revelation chapter 2, He writes to the church at Ephesus, and He says, write this letter to this church. This is the message from the one who holds the seven stars in his right hand, the one who walks among the seven gold lampstands. Now notice, I know all you things you do. I've seen your hard work and your patient endurance. I know you don't tolerate evil people. You've examined the claims of those who say they're apostles, but they're not. You've discovered they're all liars. You have patiently suffered for me without quitting. Now, stop there for a moment. That's a pretty good church. That's a pretty positive thing that he said about those people, isn't it? I mean, after all, I've seen your hard work. I see your patient endurance. I know you don't tolerate sin. I know you know what's truth and right and wrong. I know you've suffered. I know you haven't given up. I know you haven't quit it. Wow, way to go. Verse 4. I have this complaint against you. You don't love me or each other as you did at first. Wow. They've done all this good, but he says, here's the problem, folks. You've drifted, and you don't love me like you used to. And you don't love others like you used to. Verse 5, look how far you have fallen from your first love. Turn back to me again and work as you did at first. That's repentance. If you don't, I'll come and remove your lampstand from its place among the churches. They're still with God. But if they don't change, there's a crisis ahead. But what does he say about them? Look at all the positive things they've done. Look at how you read about that. And wow, those are good people. Those are tough people. Those are sharp people. Those are people who've done what's right. In the midst of all of that, he says, here's the problem. You used to be in love with me. And though you still love me, it's not like it used to be. You need to come back. You need to start doing what you used to do. See, sometimes we in Christianity and in church go, well, you know, I've done this long enough. I need a break. You've drifted. You've just drifted. You know, it happens. It's the pull. We all fight it. It's always there. We always have to deal with it. But God writes this scathing report to these people that are doing really well. And he says, look, you don't love me or each other like you did at first. You've fallen. You need to return. You need to get back. So when you take stock of where you're at, and you recognize that you're not where you used to be, you need to get back. You need to repent. You need to turn around. And you need to start doing what you should be doing. Next, you need to remain where you belong. Remain where you belong. Now, you and I have to understand that having a relationship is work, isn't it? Now you see, I've tried to tell my wife that I shouldn't have to work at this. You know, people get all messed up in the relationship. Well, I thought when we got married, I thought we love each other, so what's the problem here? It'll just happen. We'll ride off into the sunset and be happily married, happily ever after. You know, we love each other, we care about each other, so we'll just get married and things will just be wonderful and I just get to enjoy it all. Has anybody found that to be true? Some of you are liars. And you're saying it because your wife's told you to, so. It's work to keep a relationship going, isn't it? That's true of our relationship with God. And I need to put down an anchor and say, this is where I belong. This is where I need to be. You see, when you're in a boat and you want that boat not to drift, the only way you can prevent it from drifting is put your anchor down. Because even on a lake, if you put the boat in the water, it's going to move. But if you want it to stay still, you put down an anchor. What's our anchor? Hebrews chapter 6, verse 18. God has given us both His promise and His oath. These two things are unchangeable because it's impossible for God to lie. Therefore, we who have fled to Him for refuge can take new courage, for we can hold on to His promise with confidence. This confidence is like a strong and trustworthy anchor for our souls. It leads us through the curtain of heaven until God's inner sanctuary. You see, God's going to take care of me. God's going to provide for me. God is who I want in my life. God is who I need in my life. I can trust Him. He'll stay with me. He'll help me. He'll lead me. Nothing the world has to offer is for my good. And I need to stay true to God because He is my source. He's my strength. He's my hope. He's my joy. He's my peace. He's my confidence. He is all that I have. And not only is He all I have, He's all I need. That's the anchor. That keeps me where I belong. There's nothing more that I have need of in this life. I need Him. He will take care of me. He will provide for me. I'm not missing out on a thing. And the writer here says, you can hold on to His promise with confidence. You take courage in that, and you don't let anything in life cause you to drift away from what God has said. Remain where you belong with confidence. And then, resolve to grow in God. Resolve to grow in God. In other words, God, I need You, and I want to get closer to You. God, I want more of You. God, I'm here with You, but I want more. I want our relationship to intensify. God, I want us to grow together. God, I don't want us to part. God, I want more of what You have to me. The Bible puts it in these terms. There's a lot of terms it uses, but the one I like is it tells us, keep on being filled with the Spirit. Keep that there. Look at Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15. Be careful how you live. Not as fools, but as those who are wise. Make the most of every opportunity for doing good in these evil days. Don't act thoughtlessly. In other words, think about it. But try to understand what the Lord wants you to do. Don't be drunk with wine. That'll ruin your life. Instead, let the Holy Spirit fill and control you. Then you'll sing songs and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves and making music to the Lord in your heart. Now here, let me just ask you a question. How do you know you're where you need to be with God? Is there a song in your heart? You have a reason to sing. I'm not talking about your voice. For some of you, we want you to keep it in your heart. Okay? But there should be a song there, right? There should be a song there. Verse 20, and you'll always give thanks for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Are you grateful for everything God has done for you? I'm always giving thanks to God for his goodness. In verse 21 and further, you'll submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Do you love your brothers and sisters? That's what a person looks like who's growing in God. Philippians 1:9. I pray that your love for each other will overflow more and more, and that you will keep on growing in your knowledge and understanding. I want you to understand what really matters, so that you may live pure and blameless lives until Christ's return. May you always be filled with the fruit of your salvation, those good things that are produced in your life by Jesus Christ, for this will bring much glory and praise to God. We have to continue to endure. We have to continue to serve. We have to continue to love. We need to continue to grow. We need to continue to look forward to the prize that is before us. We don't get tired of doing that. We know that this is God's way of keeping us close to Him. And I want to grow in Him and become more and more like Him each and every day. I'm not going to drift away from Him. I need Him in my life. Finally, refuse to be a casualty. Refuse to be a casualty. Now you notice there in your notes, the word casualty. Let me put it to you this way. When you get casual about God, you'll become a casualty. When you get casual about God, you'll become a casualty. You and I can't just let it ride. Here's what I've learned. I've already referred to it a little bit. Marriage takes work. A good relationship, I can't just let it go. I have to work at it. Well, I didn't think it would be so hard. I didn't think I'd have to work so much. Yes, it's hard work. And you know what? It's worth every bit of it. Come on, agree with me here. I need the points. You know what? It's work to stay where you need to be with God, but it's worth every bit of it. Well, I can just go ahead and float with the rest of the world and I don't have to do a thing. I can just live and be the person I want to be and do what I want to do. Yeah, you can. It doesn't take any effort and you'll just drift away. Hebrews 6:10. God's not unfair. He'll not forget how hard you've worked for Him and how you've shown your love to Him by caring for other Christians as you still do. Our great desire is that you will keep right on loving others as long as life lasts, in order to make certain that when you what you hope for will come true. Notice, then you will not become spiritually dull and indifferent. Drift. Instead, you will follow the example of those who are going to inherit God's promises because of their faith and patience. Never get casual about the things of God. His relationship matters more than anything else. Now here's the question. Where are you now? Could you honestly say to me, Pastor, I'm right where I need to be with God? Or are you here this morning and saying, you know what? When I look at where I am and where I once was, I'm not where I should be. And you will take to heart the word to the church at Ephesus, I need to get back to my first love. Remember when you first accepted the Lord? The joy that was there? Well, man, I'll do anything. This is great. You couldn't get enough. You had to have more. You still there? Should be, right? Or have you drifted? It's not too late to get back where you belong. It's just being honest, you know what? I'm not where I need to be. Didn't intend to get here. Didn't intend to get this far away. But I recognize I'm not where I want to be with God. I need to change it.
Thank you for joining us for today's service. If you would like to talk with someone about what you've heard, please visit our website at faith.ag or call us at 239-543-2700. If you're in the Fort Myers area and don't already have a church home, you're invited to join us for Sunday morning at 8:15 and 10:45 a.m. Faith Assembly is located at 7101 Bayshore Road. Join us again next week for Sunday Morning. Faith Assembly Sunday Morning is a production of Faith Assembly Media Tech, North Fort Myers, Florida.